الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم: أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My respected brothers, sisters, elders, we continue with our series of khutab on the challenges that we face and will face in 2021 and going forward. And I've been talking to you for the last two Jumas about the role of science and therefore the importance of understanding how that meshes with or syncs with Islam, the Quran, and our own theology. Science is the tool to view the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the lens that we see with, which is our heart. But to see clearly, that lens must first be purified and cleansed of all coating of the false glory of the world and burnished with the polish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khashiyah, His awe and glory and majesty, and lighted with the noor of His love, hubb of Allah. Only then can the heart see as it is supposed to and recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. That is the importance of tazkiyatun nafs, purification of the soul. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who look at His creation but do not see His signs, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ أَذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Which means, have they not traveled through the land and have their hearts wherewith to understand and ears wherewith to hear? Verily, it is not the eyes that grow blind, but it is the hearts which are in the breasts that grow blind. Medical research, of course, today tells us that the heart has neurons and is the seat of both understanding and memory, like the brain, and is not simply a pump. So what is required? First, we need to acknowledge and accept the definition of intelligence and understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. People who recognize Him, are obedient to Him, are concerned about His pleasure, and who are willing to live their lives in the way that He ordered. The meaning of dhikr, standing, sitting, and lying down, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ, is our whole life in all its aspects. And that is where intelligence begins. The one who does not know his Creator, does not recognize Him, and is not concerned about Him, and is not connected to Him, is not intelligent. Intelligence is not some IQ score. To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remember Him in all aspects of life does two very important things. It makes us cautious and it makes us confident. They seem to be paradoxical, but they are not. Cautious about our speech and actions to ensure that we do not do anything that can displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The caution is not anxiety and fearfulness. It is concern out of love and awe and respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is a shield against all sin and disobedience. Such a person understands that everything in life, all success, all power, all happiness, all wealth, begins and ends with earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is earned and used for the pleasure of Allah, it is good and a blessing. If not, it is evil and a curse. A person who is blessed with this caution uses a single criterion to judge any potential decision point, and that is, will it please Allah? If so, he does it. If not, he doesn't do it. If there is a doubt, he clarifies and waits before acting. This simplifies life and makes it stress-free. When you are connected about concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it frees you from every concern. The great poet Allama Iqbal rahmatullahi alayhi, in his nazm called Islam or Musalman, Islam and the Muslim, in his book called Zarb-e-Kaleem, he said, Badal ke bhes phir aate hain har zamane mein. Badal ke bhes phir aate hain har zamane mein. Agarche peer hai Adam, jawan hai Lat o Manat. Ye ek sajda jise tu giran samajhta hai, hazar sajdon se deta hai aadmi ko najat. He said, which means, with changed disguises, they come in every age, the idols that we worship. He said, with changed disguises, they come in every age, though Adam, mankind, is old, Lat and Manat are always young. This one sajda that you think is difficult frees mankind from a thousand sujood. So beautiful is this religion of ours, if only we understand and practice it. In it are solutions to all that ails us, if only we are ready to see and act. The second thing that true intelligence does for the one who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is that it makes him confident. Confident that Allah is with him wherever he is. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. Confident that he can call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything he needs. For protection, for aid and help and comfort in every situation. The more he understands Allah and becomes conscious of his glory and majesty, the more he will appreciate Islam and being a Muslim, and the greater will be his desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a virtuous cycle where obedience increases the ma'iyat, the awareness of being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and confidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who obey him, that is the muttaqoon, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Truly Allah is with those who have his taqwa and with those who are the muhsinun, the ones who focus on excellence. And Allah said in another place in Surah Al-Hadith, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And he is with you wherever you are. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, who do we need to fear? And Allah asked this question, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهِ. Is Allah not sufficient for his slave? Who else do you want? That is the confidence that the muttaqi feels. This is the real meaning of dhikrullah. It's not merely repeating a name or an attribute of Allah and, you know, doing it on the tasbih or something. It's a certain number of times. It's not counting. It is to monitor what the effect of that is on the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that his dhikr has a measurable effect on the heart. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means the believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts shiver with the awe and glory and majesty of Allah. And when his ayat, when his kalam of Allah is recited before them, These ayat increase their faith and their iman, and they put their trust in their Rabb alone. Now, brothers and sisters, like an intelligent farmer prepares the soil before he plants the seed, because he knows the best seed will fail if the soil is dead or toxic. The effect of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is visible only in a heart that is free from all toxicity and is fertile with the yearning to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect with Him. Preparing the heart to receive knowledge is critical. Without it, any attempt at approaching knowledge will fail. Everything begins with tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq. Tazkiyah and tarbiyah is a contact sport. It is learned under the supervision of a sheikh who has himself been through the mill under his own sheikh, his own musleh, under his own mentor. It is not achieved by reading books or remotely on Zoom. You need to go to a scholar who is trained to guide you. He will diagnose your problem, administer the cure, and monitor your progress. This is not a 6 or 8 year course with an exam at the end. The exam in this is at the end of every interaction, every thought, and its duration is as long as it takes. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concentrated on throughout the Meccan period, and of course even later. Finally, tazkiyah is not a degree or a sanad or an ijazah. There is no final arrived state where you or somebody can say, he has passed, he has achieved tazkiyah, he does not need it anymore. The one who believes that about himself is sitting in the lap of shaitan. In the words of Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, he said, whoever wants to follow a path, let him follow the path of one who has died. For the living are not safe from fitna. He continues, he said, I mean the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the best of his ummah, the purest in the heart, the deepest in the knowledge, the most straightforward without any takalluf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them to accompany his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and establish his religion. So recognize their status and follow in their footsteps and adhere as much as you can to their example of conduct and attitude, for they followed true guidance. Without tazkiyah and tarbiyah, no amount of book learning helps. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who had a lot of book learning but succeeded only in earning his anger, and called them كَمَثَلُ الْهِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارَ. Allah said they are donkeys carrying books. The knowledge of a scholar is only what is visible in his speech and actions, nothing more. Everything else is a hujjah against him, proof and evidence against the scholar on the day of judgment that he knew but he did not act. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ourselves. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at the ayat of Surah Al Imran about Al-Uli Al-Bab. And in that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the preposition and. He said wa. He did not use the preposition aw or or. If you look at this ayah, the ayah speaks clearly about two qualities of people of intelligence, al-ulil al-bab, that they have taqwa, and then wearing the glasses of taqwa, they look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called fikr fi samawati wal ard. My brothers and sisters, fikr fi samawati wal ard comprises and contains everything that you can imagine in the field of scientific research and investigation and experimentation and exploration and analysis and testing and verification. Not only does Islam encourage Muslims to do all this, but calls this the second part of the two-part definition of a person of intelligence and understanding. The key is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set the sequence of this. When we broke the sequence and created a gap between dhikrullah and fikr fi samawati wal ard, we lost the barakah of the sequence. It no longer delivered to us the result which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, which is the enlightenment at the end of that, with which the person says, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقُتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh, our Rabb, you have not created this without purpose. Glory be to you. Give us salvation from the fire. This is our crime. I use this word very clearly and with complete understanding. This is our crime. And we paid for this for centuries. I submit to you that it's time to change. High time, if we want to break out of the malaise that ails us and is the reason for our decline into mental and intellectual slavery. They ask me what must change in education. I say everything. If you are operating for cancer, you do not remove it one cell at a time. You remove the whole thing at once. That is the answer to your next comment before you make it, which is, let us do it gradually. This is the next thing people tell me. I tell them, you don't operate on cancer one cell at a time. There are 7 things that we need to change in how we educate. And don't worry, I won't tell you all the 7 now. We'll tell you a few now and rest next week, inshallah. First, train teachers. Train teachers to teach in a way that they may never have done before. It's better to start with new people than trying to train older people for obvious reasons. The key quality is that teachers must be willing to learn and change. Then let students assess the teachers every quarter and have annual skill development training courses for teachers. The hallmark of a teacher is one who seeks to work in this environment. If they don't, let them go. Don't waste time trying to convince them. We don't need reluctant people who need a job. We need enthusiastic people answering a call. Second, design the curriculum and teaching methodology for this new way. You cannot build an aircraft in a locomotive train factory, because flying is an element of design. It's not an element of horsepower. A microlight aircraft has less than 1 HP of power, but it flies. A locomotive has 3,000 horsepower and it stays on the ground. It doesn't matter. It's a matter of design. It's not a matter of how much of power there is. We need to create an integrated method of integrating Islam and science. Our education is fractured and predicated on the worst possible premise as a business. Commercialization of education and public health are the two worst crimes committed on society. But that's another discussion. We must integrate Islam and science, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do that. To do that, our ulama must respect scientists and must consult them, and vice versa. The challenge in driving all change, including this one, is that those who are leaders today benefit from status quo, so they will never change. Don't even waste your time trying to convince people who are in leadership positions today. I tried it for 22 years. I'm still trying it. Doesn't work. Start with new. Start a pilot project to prove the concept and then present it to the world as evidence that the system works. When the world sees scientists standing on the mimbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when ulama perform brain surgery and leads space exploration missions, the world will accept the truth that Allah stated that His creation is replete with the signs of His glory and majesty. Number three, we must start with primary education. Age 5 to 15, 10 years of schooling, nothing more is necessary. After that, the students will be ready to face the world. This is not about university. This is about the foundation, the very basics without which the edifice that stands on it will collapse. It needs those who, like rocks that go into the foundation of any great structure, are willing to work, unsung, unknown, so that the structure of a new society can be created and matured. With this training, the child can go to any college or live in any society and will become a game changer and not a pawn to be moved around the board by others. Fourth and final for today, education first and foremost must start with teaching values, ethics and morals. This is not a special class, but the culture of high ethical moral character on which everything else runs. This culture must be visible everywhere in the life of the child. And that is will happen when the child sees that in his or her teachers. Because children listen with their eyes. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to end with this and say that values cannot be legislated, values must be inculcated. And that means that the teachers must demonstrate this. You will notice that I'm not talking about parents because we're talking here about schooling. Obviously, parents are also included, and that's why it has to be done together. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين اللهم شتت شملهم ودمر ديارهم ومزق جمعهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوه يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة.